Hey everyone, welcome to episode 9 of Seeking Witchcraft. This is Ashley.
And this is Allison. Hello.
Hello. We're going to be covering the second part of the Wheel of the Year. And by we, I mean mostly Allison. Because yeah. she has a lot of expertise in this area. So yeah, so welcome to part 2. Today we're going to talk about Midsummer. It's also called Litha, Llama, Mabon.
Yeah.
And Samhain.
Samhain, the big Woo. One. Woo.
Okay, just a quick thing of information. So Llamas, Mabon, and Samhain are the three harvest festivals of the Wheel of the Year. Okay, well, I'm going to give this to Allison, who's going to rock the show today.
Okay. So we're going to start with Litha or Litha. You can call it either one. It's going to be on Wednesday, June 24th in 2020. It's the longest day of the year, the shortest night. It's midsummer, yes. The god has reached his full peak of strength because he is represented by the sun. So, because it's the longest day, he's like at the top of his game. It's a time when pagans connect with the god mostly, and it's celebration with fruits and vegetables and sort of a general celebration of life altogether.
Celebration of the summer and the sun.
Yeah, the summer. Good time for picnics and stuff too. Mm-hmm. Rituals can include getting up before the sun rises, like watching the sunrise and sort of worshiping and having reverence for that. Ritual outside all throughout the summer is a big deal, but especially on this day.
It's warmer outside anyway, so.
Yeah, and fire, there's a lot of symbolism in fire because it is the longest day of the year. There is the most sunshine, the most heat.
There'll also be like an abundance of things because during the summer there's always lots of like fresh fruits and vegetables and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So going into a bit like where this falls within the story of the Wheel of the Year, like last time we were talking about how Yule is the birth of the god, and then like following that with Imolc, he is like growing up, and so this would be the point in the story when like he is fully of age, like the goddess is already impregnated at this point, and so she's starting to get more pregnant, and he's sort of like alongside of her. But it's sort of as the harvest progresses in the story, it is like the god and the goddess become more mature and realize their responsibility as they get older. And so this is still kind of early in that process, but they are starting to realize their responsibility and lose that sort of youthful, like carefree way about them. They're becoming like adults. Yeah.
During Litha, it's also a good time if you want to meditate outside. You could use like the sun's energy and warmth like on your skin as a good focus point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a lot of witches do stuff at night, but this is the time of year really for celebrating the day and the light and everything that's magical about that.
Definitely. Yeah, and I mentioned earlier something about like abundance. You know, there's a lot of fruits and vegetables. It's also a good time to celebrate just the abundance that you have in your life, like with your friends and family, or, you know, your home or your work life, just anything that you have, just being grateful for it. It's a time to, just realize it and celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, so going into Llamas, or some traditions might call it Lunissa. Lu is a name for the sun god, but Llamas is also an appropriate word for it, and it is the first of the three harvests. So there's, like, the flowers and fruits, I think, is, like, the first harvest, and then there's, like, the grains, and then the gourds are the last mm-hmm. one, like the gourds and the animals or something like that. This is... So it's the first harvest. It's time for recognizing that summer is starting to come to an end. It's August 1st in 2020.
I think of this year in 2019, it was like August 1st or 2nd too.
Yeah, it always falls somewhere around early August. And so it's when the days are first starting to become shorter. So the god is starting to lose a little bit of his power. Things are getting a little bit colder. You can think of, like, the harvest as being sad because there is sort of a dying aspect about it, but it's really not supposed to be seen as a sad time. It's supposed to be as, like, reaping the reward of all the hard work of the summer and finally getting to, like, enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Like retirement.
Yes, like retirement.
Like the sun god is close to retirement and he's starting to enjoy being able to work from home and mm-hmm. get a paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah, so at this point in the story, it's like, I guess since this is the first of the three harvests, this is when the god and the goddess are really starting to, like, be adults and fall into the more responsibility. But, like, yeah, at this point, the days are shortening, the god is lessening in power, and all that sounds really sad, but it's not supposed to be. Yeah, so rituals for this could involve keeping blessing seeds from the harvest.
From, like, this year's harvest to use, like, mm-hmm. the next year.
Yeah, sort of. It's kind of like anything you would, in a lot of pagan practices, like, anything you would normally do this time of the year to survive, like, in olden days, like, back when humans were very much, like, hunter-gatherer. Like, pagans celebrate all those things in a ritual way that you would normally have needed to do to survive. So, like, keeping the seeds, harvesting the seeds, and saving them to plant next year. We don't need to do that anymore because we have grocery stores, but by making it a ritual thing, like, we're still celebrating the year, even though those aren't things that we, like, have to do, per se.
Baking and eating bread is also really popular around this time, too, because a lot of times, like, people would harvest wheat and grains and stuff during this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that could also be a ritual in itself, especially if you're into, like, kitchen witchery. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole process of making food can be magical. I mean, you're taking these ingredients and you're putting them together and
mm-hmm.
popping it in an oven and coming out with something you could eat.
Yeah, and you can add, like, especially for bread baking or, like, making cookies or anything, you can add your own herbs into it to make it a little more, like, sacred and applicable to your practice. Like, the high priestess that I practiced with back in Chicago, she also was, like, had a degree in culinary arts and stuff like that, so cooking was very much a part of her practice, and we would make pentagram cookies sometimes.
Aww,
and
that's awesome.
Yeah, and we would put like, depending on what time of year it was and what rituals we were doing, like, we would put different herbs like rosemary in it, and you wouldn't think that that would work, but, like, the flavor's so subtle, but, like, the properties of the herb are still in it, so you can use it to, like, celebrate that time of year by adding lavender or sage or whatever you're feeling, whatever is, like, also if you're doing spell work, you know, herbs that correspond with that into your cooking. And so, especially this time of year, using herbs, sacred herbs in your cooking can be very good for your practice and making it powerful.
I would say don't use essential oils in your food. That's generally not something
you
should do.
Unless you know it's an edible essential oil, like, if it comes from sunflower seeds or almonds or something like that. But, yeah. So
this is also a good time of year to have a potluck with some of the harvest food. So if you have a group of friends who are into, you know, witchy pagan stuff, this could be fun. Everybody maybe, like, picks an herb that corresponds with this type of year, and everybody brings some sort of dish coming around it. Like, everybody draws an herb out of a hat and goes from there. Like, you can really have a lot of fun with this.
Mm-hmm. True, true.
It's also a good time just to go outside and spend some time in nature before everything starts getting cold.
Yes, very true. The last hurrah before it becomes, I mean, I guess depending on where you live, it becomes too cold to go outside.
Yeah.
Yes. So, moving on to Mabon.
Mabon not.
Stop. Okay. So, Mabon, also known as the fall equinox, falling around September 21st through 29th.
For both years.
Yeah, for 2019 and 2020. Kind of controversially named because Mabon is the name of a goddess that really has nothing to do with that time of year, and so it was just kind of like, it can be seen as like an appropriation thing, so some pagans will call it just the fall equinox or fall celebration, but also lots of pagans still call it Mabon. It's really whatever your preference is, but yes, it is the autumn equinox. It is when the day and the night are again equal, but this time the light's on the way out, the dark is on the way in, so it's flip-flopped.
Oh, I want to say one thing real quick.
Yes.
So, quick, like, intro, I don't know, tidbit. So if it's an equinox, that means the days are equal, like the day and the night, but if it's, oh, crap, what's the word?
A solstice?
Yes, thank you. If it's a solstice, that means either the day or the night is longer.
Yes. So summer solstice, longest day, winter solstice, shortest day, longest night. And then for the equinoxes, it's 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night. But spring, the days are going to get longer. Fall, days are getting shorter.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Moving on. Now that we've got that technical thing out of the way. Yes.
Yep.
So a lot of pagan practices, you'll hear reference to, like, the triple goddess, maiden, mother, crone, also represented by like the triple moon of waxing, full, and waning. So this is a time when the goddess is moving into her crone phase. When she's a maiden in the early spring, she's not yet realized her responsibility. This also goes along with the story of the year. When she is full, she is pregnant, she is like coming into her motherhood, realizing responsibility. And when she's moving into her crone phase, she is getting older, and the focus is really on, she has gained all her experience from her life, and now she is moving on to the phase of being the wise woman that people go to for advice. And so she kind of knows a lot now. She knows pretty much everything. She is who people go to for advice. At this point in the year, the god is near death. The days are getting pretty short, not as short as they're going to get, but getting close to that. It's a good time to practice gratitude and give thanks for the waning sunlight and the summer days, and prepare for the winter that's coming, which, you know, if you're a winter person, that can be a celebratory thing. Or if you're a summer person like myself, it's kind of a sad time, but also like preparing to get cozy and do what you need to do to make it through those months. It's a good time for wine and cider and apples and nuts, all the pumpkin spice stuff is, yes. I mean, the rest of the world is kind of celebrating this naturally too, but it's yes, celebrating the fall. Anything you want to add about that?
So one of the things you could take away from Mavon is that everything in life is temporary and nothing lasts forever. So in this term, I'm talking about the sunlight and the warmth, but it can always be reborn. Mm-hmm. So this is also a good time, as it is the autumn equinox, to reflect on the balance that you have in your life. So maybe your balance between work and school, or a job and family, or religion or spirituality, whatever it is. Just a good time to reflect on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is also another good time, since it's the second of the three harvests. It's good time to make breads, do kitchen witchery and stuff like that. Use a lot of cooking in your practice, because that's really what this time of year is about. Like I said before we had grocery stores and things like that, the existence of humanity was living the hunter-gatherer life, and everything revolved around like where our next meal was coming from so that we could survive and raise our offspring and stuff. So the ritual around the food and the harvesting of the food and the preparation and the preservation of it is all like very important and worshipped in this process. And so like I said, even though it's not really necessary anymore, it's still like a very worshipped thing and very important to our survival. Yes.
All right, should we go on to the most exciting one?
Yes.
Well, not most exciting, but pretty exciting.
I think it's pretty. It's right up there with Beltane. So we're going to talk about Samhain now. Ooh. Which is Halloween, October 31st. And yeah, this is kind of a day when I feel like the witch, if there's a little witch in everyone, it comes out on this day. Yeah, it's
the witch's new year.
It's the witch's new year. It is the time when, like, it's the time in the story when the god is dying, so that's sad, but also, like, death is a part of life, and most pagans believe in reincarnation, so it's not seen as something permanent and absolute. It's seen as, you know, yay, he had such a great life, and now he gets to die so he can be reborn again and just do it all over again, and it's a beautiful, sacred thing.
It's also important that to know, you know, some people do see Yule as the beginning of the year, but other people see Samhain as like the witch's new year. So some people, I don't know, there's some people go with Samhain as the beginning of the wheel, some people go with Yule. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I tend to go with Yule, but I don't know, I do see Samhain as the witch's new year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of cultures right around this time of year celebrate like the Day of the Dead, Halloween. Like it's a time of year for connecting with ancestors, for like the veil is thinnest on this day. That's sort of one of the major reasons that death is celebrated, is because it's a time when like the veil between the worlds is thin, so you are most likely to be able to like reach your deceased ancestors on this day and connect with them. Do you want to go a bit into like rituals that you can do for this?
This isn't really a ritual, but like in terms of things you could do during Samhain, Divination is at its clearest during this time, and that is because the veil is at its thinnest, and you're a little bit more, like, there's more clarity when it comes to psychic work and working with spirits and ancestors and things like that. So I would definitely recommend doing some divination during this. Pathworking is another great thing. I can't remember if I've actually talked too much in depth about pathworking, but it is pretty much a guided meditation, but no, there's a little bit more to it than that. But yeah, if you want to do some rituals, it would probably involve something like honoring the deceased. So maybe if you have loved ones in your life that have passed on, some people do something that's called a dumb dinner or a dumb supper, where you create a whole meal, including the dessert, and you will sit down at a table and you'll eat the dessert first, but then afterwards you'll eat your food and you leave out a plate for the loved one that you're trying to connect with. And the purpose of the dinner is that you're completely silent the whole time to try to like open up a channel to be able to talk with your ancestor and kind of invite them back into spending that dinner with you. I've personally never done a dumb supper or dumb dinner, but when I read about it, I was like, that's kind of cool. So I might try it out this year. Yeah, especially like I had a grandmother who loved to cook, so this could be something totally up her alley that I might want to connect with her with. But yeah, so anything with rituals, I would recommend trying to connect just with the ancestors, celebrating, you know, the death or rebirth cycle, and definitely divination is a big thing right now.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, the thin veil. And even if you're not particularly fond of like scrying and divination, you can still feel this time of year. Like, I know a lot of my friends who might not even be into pagan work, like, tell me about how they have more like lucid dreams or their meditations are deeper this time of year, just because the thinning of the veil kind of impacts everyone in their own way. I know I definitely have more lucid dreams this time of year, especially about deceased loved ones, because I don't know. I feel like they're trying to reach out a little more and it's easier for them this time of year.
Magic's also a little bit more potent during this time of year too, because mm-hmm. the veil is thin.
Yeah. And so this is also the third harvest, which is the gourds. So you see a lot of pumpkins this time of year. Pumpkin spice everything.
Yes. I'm a pumpkin spice bitch.
Oh my gosh, yes. I am a hoe for pumpkin spice. I love it.
Yep. ESL is all day.
Yes. And because the days are getting shorter, almost as short as they're going to get by the time you get to Yule. Lots of candles this time of year just for the sake of sort of keeping some light, even despite the god dying.
I think that one of the traditions, like the pagan traditions back in the day too, was that people would carve out pumpkins and put lights in them to help guide spirits along their journey to the afterworld.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now it's turned into jack-o'-lanterns, so.
Yeah, and there's also some lore behind, like, wearing masks and costumes and things because, I mean, you generally shouldn't be afraid of your passed on loved ones because they loved you when they were alive. They still love you when they're dead. They don't wish you any harm. They're good, benevolent spirits. But some traditions believe that there are, like, mischievous spirits that can come out this time of year, too. And if you're disguised, then they won't recognize you and they won't come after you. So take that or leave it. I don't know. I generally don't believe... I believe that if there were spirits that were that dangerous, why would they give a crap about us? But
yeah, plus a Halloween mask from Spirit Halloween isn't gonna.
I know. I'm like, my general philosophy and those that I've practiced with before have shared similar philosophies that if there really is this all-powerful demon from the other realm and he has managed to make his way over to this side and wants to do harm, why would he care about you in particular? But, yep. You know, I guess you never know. Depends on your practice and what you believe and teach their own.
But. So talking about harvest festivals too, this was a time that back in the day before grocery stores were the thing, people would have to slaughter their livestock. And, well, they would have to choose which of their livestock survives for the winter and that they're going to spend money and resources feeding to bring into the new year. And which ones that they would want to kill so that they can survive during the summer and they would have the meat to last during the cold winter months. So there's a lot of death that goes on in this, the Sabbath, but it is a lot of honoring that death because it is, you know, a hard choice for the people back in the day, like the farmers or the people who had this livestock, having to make that choice between their animals of which one lives and which one survives. And it was a sacred decision. It wasn't just something that was done like, oh, that one, I guess, you know. But yeah, so
All right. Well, I think that sums up the entire wheel of the year.
Woo.
Woo.
Yeah. So that's the whole story. Let me see where we're at with time. Oh, 20 minutes. Okay. So Allison and I are going to do another episode. It's going to just be on some random witchy things.
Tidbits, Q&A, general things.
Yeah. So if you have any questions that you want to ask, you know, always you can ask me on Twitter at Seek Witchcraft, all one word. I've gotten some messages about some really interesting topics I don't know too much about, but Allison does know a lot of topics that I don't know too much about, like crystals and astrology, for example.
Oh gosh, don't ask me too many questions. I'll do my best, though. I'll share any little nuggets of information I have.
There we go. Yeah. So if you guys have any questions, I would say try to get them into us as soon as possible, and we will see you guys, I don't know, very soon.
Yes, thanks for listening.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye.